creators of Relevant Magazine, this is the Relevant Podcast.
Don't you worry, baby. No sis trying to change it. I'm gonna strike these matches. Never had control. I'm ready to.
Tuesday, March 26, 2019, and it's The Relevant Podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and here with me in our Orlando studios on the ones and twos, our illustrious engineer, my brother, Chandler Strang.
Hello.
There's somebody else in the room, but I will get to him last. On the Skype line from Loverland, Virginia, Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
And joining us from Nashville, Tennessee, author, speaker, podcaster, cowgirl extraordinaire, Annie F. Downs.
Good morning, gents.
And sitting in for the whole show today, our good friend, singer, songwriter, entrepreneur, Brady Toop.
Wow.
Hey, what's up?
How are you, man?
Entrepreneur, Brady.
Good. It's good to be with you guys.
He's a singer, songwriter, podcaster, a former professional baseball player, and a former contestant on The Bachelorette.
Unfortunately.
Brady Toop.
No, don't even say that, Brady.
Unfortunately.
That was so fun.
That's a card very few people can play.
Well,
you know?
Well, there keeps being more and more people that can play that card.
That's true. There are some cards that win and there's others that lose. I'm not sure whether that one won or lost.
The question is, though, would you ever go on Bachelor in Paradise?
I don't know if I could talk about that on air.
That's true. Okay.
Oh, wow. Contractually, he can't reveal.
But oh, I love this so much.
He will be playing some intense, steamy beach volleyball in the very near future.
There are certain people that would hate me
that's
if I went
lunch
on Paradise.
So. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, we're so good.
Interesting. We got a little personal there for a second. I like it.
Wow.
Brady's in town for a couple of days, Jesse, just literally to hang out. And we hung by the pool, had some hot tub hot takes, and we went to the basketball game last night. That was literally cool. Why he's here. Isn't that fun?
Cool. I appreciate the invite down, guys. That sounds like a really good time.
Hey, that's 2 weeks in a row there, pal, that somebody in this family got left out. So get used to it.
And here's the thing, Brady, I'm glad you got to experience the game. I'm glad you got some good soak time in the tub. But
in the hot tub, just to be clear.
But before, yeah, I don't know. There's
I don't have a two-person bathtub. That's not, yeah.
There's a jacuzzi. It's like it's a deep jacuzzi. It's not weird at all. It's very deep. No, but Bray, you and I were talking before it started, and I was like, Cameron, was he really letting him have it at the game last night? And Brady, you said you sat quietly most of the game.
Yeah,
and
what?
You know,
Cameron sat quietly?
No, Brady sat quietly.
Oh.
So Brady, you're a competitive guy. You're a former pro athlete. You played
True. Maybe that's why you sat quietly.
Because you should be the most competitive person sitting there floorside, but you more like to just intimidate people with your eyes.
Oh, stop it. You know, I was mostly just interested in watching the Godfather over here do his work.
Mr. Kevin Strang.
Hey, the best moment is he starts talking smack to Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Because Butler, he went baseline and he took a few steps. He looked like he might have traveled.
He walked 9 steps before, and then got fouled. And but they didn't call the travel before.
They didn't call the
foul.
So Jimmy Butler's he's shooting free throws. And I mean, we're 15 feet away, you know, we're 20 feet away, right there.
You're an awkward distance away.
Right.
human interaction.
Exactly. Cameron starts talking smack and he goes, Jimmy, you know you traveled. You know you traveled.
I was like, Jimmy Butler does not deserve these free throws. He conned the refs. They are under his spell. Jimmy starts laughing.
No, that's what you're yelling.
He starts laughing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Jimmy starts laughing.
Jimmy looks over and he cracks his smile and he makes a free throw and he looks over again. He smiles and he makes a second free throw. And I'm like, that'll boy.
Yeah.
Boy.
Just like I've never played in the NBA. That's going to shock to a lot of listeners.
Wait, what?
I'm confessing that right now. Yeah. But I will say this. Is it ever not disorienting when someone just says casually your first name, like in relatively close proximity? Like if you're at the airport, someone's like, Cameron, Annie, Brady,
you
look around. It's so disorienting.
Yeah. That's my sole strategy with the refs. I call them by name, first name only.
Yeah.
Aaron, and I'll tell him what I think about the call that he missed. And, you know, you get Aaron's attention that way.
Wait, is there really a ref named Aaron? That is not a very NBA ref name. Jim. I expected Jim. I don't expect an Aaron.
Our crew was Aaron, Mike, and Jemima. I think you pronounce it Jemima. I'm not sure.
No, I'm pretty sure it's Eastern European.
And it's Jedimimus or Jemima or something. I just called him Jemima all night.
There's something weird though. If you use someone's first name as a qualifier to say something that would otherwise be very inappropriate, it's just okay. Like if someone's driving down the road and like, hey, you're driving like a maniac.
Yeah.
Like it's like, oh, you know, chill out. But if someone's like, Jesse, you're driving like a maniac. That sounds like a concerned friend.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
if you say right. Jeff, if
you're
I
not
say,
wrong, Jess.
Literally, just qualify by the first name, and they're like, this person cares about me. This isn't just a random insult.
I got a better story. So I played baseball in the SEC, and we were traveling, and we were at Texas A&M. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen, been to a sports event at Texas A&M, but they are crazy. The students, everybody's nuts. So we're playing, and it's Texas A&M. They've got, cheers for everything. There's a foul ball, you know, and they've got whoop, and it comes down, this kind of thing. Well, they do research on the players. And so let's say you walk, you get a single, you're on first base. They know from your Facebook, they know who your girlfriend is, what your mom's name is. No. They know who your ex-girlfriend is.
That's
more than, hey, Brady. They go, your ex-girlfriend, why is she not with you anymore? What'd you do, Brady?
Oh,
you know, it's crazy.
Wow. Oh, that's next level.
Only A&M?
Texas A&M.
That is so surprising.
Brady, you and I have talked about this. I think we talked about it in Montana, but I think we were in college around the same time, and Arkansas used to regularly play my college, ORU, Oral Roberts University in Tulsa. And, you know, a lot of people don't know this, too. I was pretty involved in the baseball program, too. Now, my job was to man the garbage cans at the stadium during games, but still, we all did our part. And I will say this. I hated Arkansas games.
We hated you just as equally.
They were filthy. Like, your fans would leave hot dogs. It was like they had robbed 5 7-Elevens on the road trip. I have never seen that number of spicy, discarded Big Bites just littered throughout the stadium. It was a nightmare cleanup.
Wait, you really cleaned up after baseball games, Jesse?
Yeah, I took tickets. I was tickets. And then when the tickets are done, you got to go. Someone's got to do it, Annie. Someone that was is my job in college.
Servant leadership,
it's pretty chill.
Servant leadership, right there.
Wow.
That's amazing.
I mean, I didn't do it for free. It wasn't like I volunteered for it.
Maybe that's why subconsciously you didn't yell and heckle last night, because you have been on the other side of it, and you see them as humans, not as just objects to yell at.
Yeah.
Yes. Whereas right. Cameron,
human dignity.
Weird. Has lost their humanness years
ago. my whole thing is no, they're basketball players. I can yell at them. They are not people.
They're not real humans
with dreams and fears and
same with reality TV, right? Reality TV. They're not real humans. We can say whatever we want about them.
Yeah.
Oh. See, Brady's crossing the fourth wall.
This
or whatever.
Is a deep wound. This is you're just hitting deep wounds inside of me.
deepest wounds.
I need to go to therapy.
Were people terrible online at you after the Bachelor?
Was you Bachelorette like the magnified version of Texas A&M? Like
it kind of
million?
Was. It really was. You know what I did learn? I learned how much I care about what people think about me.
Good or bad.
So if it was really good, I got really, really elevated. And if it was really bad, I went, oh, I'm the worst. So I realized, you got to find a little deeper center to live from than that.
You honestly, knowing you from afar, it seems like the kind of BCAD moment of your personal journey was The Bachelorette.
It was.
You were one life before that show, and you're on a different journey after that show.
Oh, 100%. I mean,
was it a good thing for you? Was it a good experience?
It was a painful, traumatic, beautiful, exciting adventure.
Mm.
All the things. All of them put in a blender and multiplied by a million. So I think I had to do some serious work after that show.
Hmm.
I went to counseling. I got a life coach. I started reading books.
Is it Carmen? Is your life coach Carmen? He does life coaching.
Yes. But hey, you got to do
the
ultimate work. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, if anybody knows.
Who better to be a life coach? He got married.
It's 63. The man knows how to life coach a bachelor
than Christianity's greatest bachelor.
Carmen, you are on a similar path. He was a bachelor until 63.
Stop.
You're 37.
Oh, please.
Oh.
Ouch. That's a low blow.
And look, guess what? Everything turned out okay for Carmen. He is still touring church parking lots around this country.
I have to knock you down a peg, because hanging out with Brady, going to restaurants, the stuff like that, if you're hanging out with a guy who's such an Adonis, he was cast on The Bachelorette, you are chopped liver sitting next to him. Like, all the women in the restaurant are looking at Brady tubes. They're all swooning. And so I just had to knock him down a peg. Sorry about that, man.
Yeah. It's okay.
It's one way to handle your insecurities, Cameron. There are other ways, but that's one way.
Public shaming is how I make myself feel better about myself.
Yeah. Listen, Annie, we've all learned, and I learned this from my life coach, who's myself. And I told myself.
I was hoping.
The best way to feel better about myself is to make someone else feel worse about themselves. It's easy. It's math. It is math. It's like, it's Oprah. It's a secret. It's a whole universe
minus one
thing,
plus
man.
One. Yeah. Oh, man. I'm sorry. Hey, Annie, how was your mental vacation last week? We missed you on the show.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, it was great. I mean,
what did you do?
I wasn't allowed to do anything because my doctor literally put me on like bed rest.
What? I thought you were just like doing a Sabbath thing.
No. I was like, everybody should schedule vacation in their life. What also happened is that as that was coming around, I was having a lot of migraines. I went to my doctor and she said, no more flying, no more working until we get your migraines under control. Because mine aren't as bad as Jesse's, but they were very frequent. And so, I mean, I was so bored, you guys. You cannot imagine. No computer, no phone. I could only read and lay in bed and lay on the couch. I was like,
that's what the doctor said?
Yes.
That's a seven's like worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Thank you for knowing it. You know, I can only leave my house once a day. And so I would like, it was really hard. But
was this a court ordered thing? Or did you break a law that you didn't tell us about? Because that sounds like house arrest.
I wish it felt like house arrest. So we're getting better and going to the doctor again next week and MRIs and all that kind of stuff. And it's going to be fine. But
listen to the podcast you missed, because I didn't know that it was a serious medical thing. I kind of made flippant comments about your mental vacation. So very sorry.
Great. Super.
Very
so
sorry.
So everyone listening knows that my friendship is on a tight line right now. And I don't know. Yeah. Okay.
Sensitive Cameron over here.
I was trying to knock you down a peg.
Why would you make fun of someone for going on vacation?
I wasn't making fun of you. No. I was not. I was just telling, I was explaining briefly why you weren't on the show. I was like, Annie's taking like a mental vacation this week. Like
true.
I didn't know that it was like doctor ordered or court ordered, maybe.
I called it more of a hard staycation, because a soft staycation I'm hanging, but I'm still getting errands done around the house.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I've been meaning to get that registration taken care of and get that vanity plate that I thought up, you know?
Like,
I'll take care of that this week. No, it was the hard. It was like, nothing's happening here.
No, Brady, I mean, everybody, when people would ask me how I was, I would just say, I'm so bored. I'm so bored. Someone rescue me from just being here.
Yes.
What was on the table?
Were people allowed to visit you? I mean, could you have friends over?
No, I got to leave once a day. So I would go to a meal or go on a walk or do something once a day with a friend.
But on a normal staycation
for Annie, the fun thing to me is all day long I'm with people. I'm like popping from friend to friend to friend to thing to thing to thing. And that was not my story last week.
Did you do like a big 1,000-piece puzzle of like a Thomas Kincaid painting?
I did get a puzzle. Yes, I did do a puzzle. It was not a Thomas Kincaid, though. It was a painting of a park here in Nashville.
Were you allowed to journal? Because you are a professional author, so that's kind of work.
Yes. Well, no, I did. I did journal. I did still read. I could still like use my eyeballs. I just couldn't put it toward work.
I don't know. Your journals turn into books, don't they?
No, your journals turn into my books. That's the difference. Oh, I take your journals and make them into my books. Wow. No. So we're going to be fine. And it was good. I mean, vacation's good. It's good to not think about work for a little bit. But man, the Monday after, it's like everybody's been lining up what they need from you and everybody needs it on Monday. Yeah. Brutal.
I at 12:01 Sunday night slash Monday morning, I hit up Annie and ask her to borrow $40.
See, you ask every Monday.
I'm in a jam. I owe money to the wrong kind of people. And right. Annie hadn't been doing anything all week. She's, you know, hadn't been eating out. So maybe she could slide
right.
me a few.
Maybe she's got her
problem. I don't know how much that puzzle set you back, but it sounds like a pretty...
My friend Heather bought it for me and left it outside my door.
Now, I'm not going to lie. Sounds like a pretty lame puzzle. Sounds like a discount rack puzzle. Not a cool Statue of Liberty.
She was at Home Goods.
The Eiffel Tower.
It was one of your regular puzzles.
Yeah. It's one when you like when your family rents a beach house that they just that's just left there. You know, like someone just left it for the
It's missing
day.
Like two pieces. Yeah. But you don't know that.
I heard Bianca was on and she was awesome though. So
Bianca was great.
Yeah,
Bianca was great. We talked about reality TV. So, you know.
Oh, good.
Something
did
you
ask her dating question? She's an expert on dating.
She did allude to the fact that her dream is to be the celebrity matchmaker that had that Bravo show. The millionaire matchmaker. Yep. Like, that's her dream. She did talk about that. And then I saw on Twitter a lot of this. That's true. Brady, Bianca Oltoff.
You're essentially a master of romance. Is that fair or unfair?
I feel like that's a true statement.
Everybody who goes on that show, The Bachelor, Bachelorette, they actually are completely tragic in the realm of romance.
Which is why it's like, we want to film this.
Exactly.
That makes you as a TV matchmaker even better because I want a matchmaker who it's a whiff every time and the people are terrible for
because you
other.
Feel good about yourself. You know, you go, hey.
That's right.
Man, at least my day's not as horrible as this awkward couple that's, you know, having to do pottery before dinner or whatever.
Oh my God.
they always make him do some activity. Dinner? They ever watch those shows? They always make him do some activity you'd never want to do that just looks awful. You know, like painting ceramics or something. You got to do a craft before dinner.
No, like the matchmaker shows.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Like you got to go do an activity date and then you do a dinner date. Afterwards. It's always awkward. We have a great show coming up. Later, Tadashi joins us to talk about his new album, Never Fold, and also how Christians should approach tragedy in their own lives. His story is crazy. It's so sad. Yeah. He lost his very young son a few years ago, and this album talks a lot about that. And he talks about that what's on the show later, so make sure to tune in for that. Well, this was a long opener. We've been catching up with Annie and getting to know Brady a little bit. So let's do this. Let's take a break. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Slices. Listening to Dennis Lloyd, the song is Never Go Back. At the beginning of the podcast, you heard Cage the Elephant with Ready to Let Go. Well, today's show is brought to you by Blinkist. Being able to practice mindfulness every day is something we all want to achieve, and sometimes it can be hard when we're overwhelmed with work and other aspects of life. There's an app I highly recommend which might help you be more mindful every day. It's called Blinkist. It's the only app that takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down to just about 15 minutes so you can read or listen to them. Blinkist is made for busy people like you who want to get the main points of the books quickly without reading the entire thing. With an audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish 4 books a day while you're on the go. 8 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library from self-help to business, health, to history books, and a lot more. You can easily listen in the car and get great recommendations on what to read next. The most popular books right now and like the most read in mindfulness and happiness category include The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. It's a classic. The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss and Start With Why by Simon Sinek. There's a lot of good stuff on Blinkist. Check it out. Yeah. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/relevant to start your 7-day trial for free. That's Blinkist.com/relevant to start your free 7-day trial. All right, it's time for Slices. What do you have, Jesse?
All right, well, I actually have a twofer, but they're related. And so
you always have a twofer. You don't even need to announce that anymore.
Yeah,
you
even, always it have matter. A twofer.
It doesn't matter, but they are related, and I would like to discuss them both. And okay, so both of these have to do with judges, right? Like people who sit in courtrooms and dictate verdicts, which I think is a very cool job. It's a very high pressure job, but it's very cool. And it also translates well to TV. I love judge shows. Judge shows are the best. But there's a guy in Estonia. So the Estonia Ministry of Justice is experimenting with a new program right now. That they're actually, like, in Estonia, 22% of the population works for the government. That's, like, a huge number. And so it costs the country a bunch of money to, like, employ, you know, almost a fourth of the population to work in government. So they've been using AI, artificial intelligence, to basically streamline a lot of these government jobs. And they recently started experimenting in the Ministry of Justice with a robot judge. So this is a judge who is like a computer. And for small civil claims that are under like $8,000, you can go take someone to court. So, you know, let's say, Brady, these Arkansas Razorback fans, you know, got really rowdy and, you know, stained a glorious picture of Eli the Golden Eagle with chili from Spicy Big Bites from their road trip up to Tulsa. Okay, I'm not saying that didn't happen, but it's most certainly did. It most certainly did. And let's say for some reason this was going to be prosecuted in Estonian jurisdiction, for reasons that are unclear.
Sure,
we would both like submit these in paperwork. This robot would, like, you know, determine all the facts, and especially for stuff that when it comes down to like contract disputes, like that's how they're initially piloting this program. The robot would intake all the facts and it would determine a verdict. You don't even need to see a real judge. You can see a robot judge, which I think is really cool. And it seems like justice is blind at that point, right? Like a robot seems like they would be able to, you know, have some objectivity. Like if they're an Arkansas Razorback fan, which is highly doubtful, you know, that won't come into the verdict. That, obviously, they're a big ORU baseball fan.
Right.
The other part of my slice is a different story. Here's what we lose with robot judges. We get objectivity. We get fair judgments. We get, you know, the infallibility of an algorithm that is always self-improving based on past results.
Right.
But what we get is one of my favorite things, and that's creative justice. When a judge who probably isn't even allowed to do this decides to tack on something weird, just to really make the perp pay and make him think twice. Okay, so this story comes to us from Hawaii. Again, I don't even think this. I listened to the latest season of Serial, and there was like a judge who was like issuing creative justice sentences, and Sarah Coney's like, just for listener's sake, this is 100% not legal, and judges have no legal authority to do this, but they do it anyway, and I think it's great. I think we need more of it. Here's what this judge in Hawaii is did. So there was a 21-year-old who had stolen his cousin's car, and he got pulled over by police, and he told the officers that, you know, his cousin let him borrow the car. And that was a big lie. And he said, listen, my cousin let me borrow the car because I was really thirsty and I really needed some Pepsi. It's my favorite drink. You know, a rock solid alibi for committing grand larceny. So the judge, you know, the police called the cousin. It wasn't true. He stole the car from his cousin for his Pepsi run. All right. So the judge, you know, the kid spent, I say kid, 21 years old, you know, spent 7 days in jail. The judge issued him probation. But here is the real punishment. The judge said that you are not allowed to drink Pepsi for 4 years.
Wow.
How will they ever keep up with that?
Yeah,
can't do that.
I don't know. I don't know if you have to do like drug testing for Pepsi intake, but I think that's a great judgment. Like, I mean, 7 days in jail would be no fun. Probation would be a big hassle. But 4 years is a really long time without Pepsi. And I guarantee you, they're thinking twice before stealing a car, because they got to think, well, what comes next at that point? You know, what other joy in my life will be deprived from me by the justice system? So, Annie, you and I were talking about this before the show started. Are you more in favor of like Estonia, where they have robots just churning out, quote unquote, most certainly fair judgments based on facts and, quote unquote, what the law permits?
Sure.
Or do you like rogue judges like this cat in Hawaii who's taking people's Pepsi away just to send a message?
I think anyone who stops people from consuming Pepsi products is doing the right thing by the world. So come on, we're Coke people, not Pepsi people anyway.
Brady, what are your thoughts on this? You look like you have very strong opinions about this.
I think Pepsi needs to file a lawsuit against the judge. That's what I think.
Interesting.
I mean, that's intense.
That's a hot take right there.
I'm not going to lie. I don't know what double jeopardy is, but that sounds like double jeopardy. I don't think that's legal, Brady. I'm sorry. From my understanding of double jeopardy, which is nothing, which is that it was a book about the law,
right?
You know, by John Grisham. I don't think that's legal. So I'm sorry. That's so strange,
but I still am all for a judge doing. I'd rather have a human judge. What's your take, though, Jesse? I know you've been.
My take is this: you should get the choice. In my hypothetical world is like, if you're a criminal and you know you did it, like, and you can either have the robot dole out the sentence, or you get a judge that's going to think of something weird, then I would take the judge. Because, I mean, again, I feel like it would like shape me better as a human. Like, let's say I rammed into your car, Brady, and I was driving without insurance, and I could either be fined and have to pay you to fix your car, or the judge would be like, or you can pull him around in a rickshaw, you know, until... I would take the rickshaw. I'd get in shape. We'd probably get to know each other a little bit better because I'm pulling you around all day. And I just feel like it's a more effective judgment.
Yeah. What an interesting thought, Jesse. Who needs Ubers when you could just take a rickshaw around Nashville?
I think this is a reality TV show. You have a robot on one side and you have a person like me with no training in the law on the other that just shoots from the hip. You know, straight tough talk. Making people cry all the time in there. That's what I think the justice system needs.
The problem with the robot thing is, like, I mean, like in the US right now, there's a big conversation about criminal justice reform because like sentencing guidelines are just extreme for, you know, what, like disproportionately targeting minority communities and things like that. I mean, you can just look at it where it's like, wait, why would this drug, you know, the sentencing between like cocaine and crack, right? You know, like it's the same drug, but different audiences, and the crack sentences are insane and the cocaine ones are slap on the wrist. It's like the robot would have a problem. The robot, you know what I mean? If the law is flawed.
Did you say robot?
He did say robot.
But like if the law is flawed, so you'd have to make sure that your justice system laws and your sentencing guidelines are perfect, right? And fair. And then the robot can, fine, spit it out because it's just implementing what's fair. But in the US, that's not the case. You have to go with the Jesse's second choice, which is just shooting from the hip judges who are going to do whatever they feel like.
Hey, I read a book one time. They did this research study on judges.
Was it called Double Jeopardy?
No. They did this research study on judges, and it was this thing where early in the morning or up until like 11 o'clock, the judges were more lenient.
And then they get hangry after that.
They drink caffeine and sugar, and they have the sugar high. And in the afternoon, they're at the sugar crash, and they actually hand out stiffer penalties.
The robot never would do that.
Never.
So again,
that was true when I taught elementary school too. To be honest, the afternoons
kids get in more trouble in the afternoon.
Yeah, yeah.
I like Brady's idea of a robot. and it's like you definitely caught you for shoplifting. Your sentence is you have to wear a pop collar for the rest of the year. No, please send me to jail. I'll look like a big jerk. Please, I don't want to do that. It's like that was reckless driving. You're going 75 miles an hour in a 45. Robots has issued your sentence.
Hey, but you
are forced to wear Axe body spray every day. Please, God, please, God, no.
It's also got to be in the voice of a Southern California surfer. It's like, yeah. Bro, you got to wear the Axe body spray.
Bro, you got Axe body spray for a year.
For two and a half years.
Hey, have you guys played the accent game? Have you guys played this game?
No, what? No.
Oh, this accent game is incredible. If you've not played it, you got to play it. I forget what it's called, but it's basically, it's like apples to apples, right? Okay. Where everyone picks a card and so what you pick is a card about an accent and that you got to do. And so one of them is like surfer.
And then you have to guess what accent you're doing.
No, well, everyone has to do the surfer accent and the person who picked the card has to pick their favorite one. Oh, so you read your cards like, you know,
Robot 2000.
Exactly. And it's incredible. You see sides of people in your family and friends that you've never actually seen their personality come out. It's really cool.
Yeah.
What's your favorite party game, Annie? I think you'd have many.
Okay. This is going to be very surprising to all three of you. I and Chandler, who's invisible, but there. I don't like games. I don't like party, like game nights. That's like not my thing ever.
Mm. I'm shocked.
Because it's superficial.
Wow. I know.
Because it's like forced interactions. You would rather just like, let's hang out and like laugh.
And so I'd rather. And so I end up, I'm the one who's not fun.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I'm not fun. I don't enjoy it. Yeah. So I don't have a good answer for this. I play a game called Codename sometimes with one of my groups of friends.
Name. Oh, that's a good game.
Yeah. With the Hodges. You know the Hodges, I think, David and Kate. Mm-hmm. We play Codenames. That's about the only game. I'm so sorry. I know that's disappointing.
Just not a gamer. No. Well, I think I'm going to turn Brobot into a game. I'm going to figure out a way to gamify. It's too good of an idea. It's too good of an idea of a show, Brady. And you can be my co-executive producer. Like someone's like, you know, you've been found guilty of aggravated assault. Your sentence. You must go to 3 Dave Matthews Band concerts.
No! Just take me away! Brobot, no! No, please!
They drag you out. They drag you out, throw you in the back of a Jeep Wrangler and pull you to the... Here's your Nalgene bottle. No, please! Here's your carabiners on your belt. This is humiliating, please! Someone will see me.
Jesse.
I have a Life is Good sticker on here. This is humiliating.
Jesse, at the time of taping this show, brobot.com is available.
Get it.
Wow. That's surprising.
I'm going to sell this to Netflix too.
We should totally get it. We need brobot.com. We need brobot.biz is what we need because that's the one that always makes me think of y'all. It's dot bizzes.
Yeah, instead of like an electric chair, it's like a salon chair that they strap you in and frost your tips against your will.
Please! Oh my God. Please, no! Please, Brobot, no! Have some mercy!
There's like the victim's family is like standing behind the plane of glass, like witnessing the frosting, you know?
Right.
Justice is being served. It's not pretty.
Instead of putting you in handcuffs after the sentence, they put a shell necklace around your neck. You know?
Yeah. Poke shell.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Please. All right. Please have mercy, Brobot.
What do you have, Annie?
Not a tribal tattoo. Please, Brobot. No.
You good, Jesse?
Never let it die, Jesse. Never let it die.
He doesn't, Brady. You've really signed up for a thing here. Okay. So last year when I was in Alaska, we drove by a Blockbuster and my assistant and I were both like, what? A Blockbuster? And they were the hosts that were with us were laughing and kind of saying, yeah, like they're supposedly the only ones left in like anywhere. But it's not true, you guys, because the last Blockbuster in the world is in Portland, Oregon. Or sorry, is in Bend, Oregon right now.
Because the Alaska ones finally closed shop.
I
heard about the Alaska ones because I was like, okay, that makes sense up there. You know, they don't have like fast internet to stream stuff. So they still got to go old school. I remember the Alaska ones and then they finally closed up shop. And so now there is only one left.
Well, so there was one left in Oregon and then there was one left in Australia as of a month ago. And the one in Oregon. Okay. So the whole Blockbuster went bankrupt in 2010.
Yeah.
And then kind of left all the stores to man themselves and like all the franchises to decide for themselves. And they, so they just kind of get, they die off one at a time. Well, this one is still lasting and all the computer system is the same. So they have to use floppy disks like on the computers to restart the computers. No. They don't have any new movies. So all the movies are from 2010.
You're lying.
I am That's not. Why would true. I make up such a thing?
I would have thought, I mean, it's an independently owned and operated store. You would think right. that the store owner would still be buying new movies.
So what he has done is they've turned it almost into like a tourist trap is what I want to say, but
like a time capsule thing. Like it's like a spectacle now. It's
like, hey kids. So
yes.
This used to be a thing.
Yes. And they have sweatshirts and t-shirts. And now because the one in Australia closed, their shirts literally say last Blockbuster on the planet. And they are selling like crazy. It's making them a ton of money because people will just drive by to show their kids to walk inside and see like time capsule-y, what are the movies that you can still rent? And they also say that people mail them boxes of VHSs and they put out the good ones.
Wow.
I heard about a guy that stole a copy of Speed 2 Cruise Control from that Blockbuster.
From that very store.
Robot sent it, gave him a sentence. Bailiff, bring out the cargo shorts. No! Please no! My cargo shorts!
Oh my gosh.
I remember in 2008 and 2009, I lived like around the block from a Blockbuster, and I would walk over there all the time and buy the previously viewed ones, you know, because they'd be like $5 movies,
right?
You know? And they were great. And I just came across a box. I'm finally fully moving into my house, and I'm finally going through some boxes that hadn't been gone through. And I opened one, and it was like all these DVDs that had like the Blockbuster sleeves on them still, you know. And it was all these movies from like 2009, you know. It was nostalgia.
That is the full experience if you go to this store in Bend, Oregon. I mean, the sweatshirts, they're making a killing because the sweatshirts are $40 and people are buying them. And the t-shirts are $20. And the woman who owns it, the wife of the family who owns it, she like knits yellow and blue hats, like beanies to wear. And they sell those too. I mean, it's the strangest. We've got to go.
We have to go. Bend, Oregon.
We have to go see it.
But going to Blockbuster used to be fun, though. It used to be like, oh, totally. I'll go to Blockbuster, pick out a flick for tonight, you know?
Right.
And you felt like so much. I felt like I watched more movies, weirdly, when there was Blockbusters. Because if I rented one, I'm watching it. Even if it's terrible, well, I made the effort to go. But now I'll
rewind him, Jesse? I bet you didn't.
That's someone else's job. I'm not doing a Blockbuster employee job.
I knew you were never kind and rewound. I knew it.
What's that about kindness? This is economics, Andy. That's like, it's. I told you about the robots that go retrieve the grocery carts out in there. They're stealing somebody's job. You can just have a full-time rewinder and help the economy.
That's why I litter in a parking lot. Hey, why not?
Oh,
I'm employing somebody. Somebody has to come pick up my trash. That guy now has gainful employment. If I don't, then he doesn't have anything to do. They don't hire him. So yeah, I don't litter on the side of the road, but in a parking lot. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, same thing.
Oh my gosh. I know. Same Brady thing on the is interstate. Like cringing at you saying all that.
I don't do that. Same thing
on the interstate. Just a whole bag of Wendy's right out the window. I don't know how, but that helps the economy. I actually got pulled over for that one time.
Did you?
They sent me to Brobot. And,
stupid.
Please, no, not the Affliction t-shirt. Is that Affliction? Is it Affliction? No! I'll never litter again! The punishment doesn't match the crime! It's bedazzled! His shirt is bedazzled! I won't wear it!
Oh, man.
I did see, I was at a restaurant the other day, and I saw a guy who, he spends a lot of time in the gym, and he was wearing white jeans that were boot cut, and had bedazzled designs on the back pockets.
On the
and
back
I was like,
pocket.
Oh, that still exists. Look at that.
I wonder what
I didn't even realize maybe he was sentenced to that. You know, maybe that wasn't his choice.
Cameron,
you know?
That's a great point.
The way you're describing those jeans, he must
maybe
have
he lost murdered. The buckle challenge.
Yeah.
Maybe he had. Did you guys ever do that?
No.
Where you got the buckle challenge is you walk in and you got to be able to touch the back wall before one of the buckle people come up to you. You know, the buckle is like a
store.
Very aggressive.
Right? So if you can touch the back wall before they say something to you, you win. But if you lose, maybe you got to buy a pair of the bedazzled jeans or something.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Brady, I'm going to play this in every place I go to for the rest of my life. That's the kind of game I can get behind. Try to touch the back wall before anybody talks to you.
Totally.
That's hysterical.
I mean, and they get you like two steps before you walk into the store usually. So it's hard. Yeah. I mean, you really got
to
work.
Brady, yeah. Next time when you're home, let's just go to every store in Green Hills Mall and see if we can do it.
Malls are
cool.
Yeah, before you're 1 foot in the door and they've already like signed you up shoes and pre-approved you for a Buckle credit card.
Exactly. Yeah,
but Cameron, the way you're describing those white jeans with the bedazzled back pocket, the only thing I can think of, that guy must have committed multiple murders to wear those pants. Like, that sounds awful.
That is a very big punishment.
Yeah.
The guy's a serial killer.
Or it was an afternoon punishment for a very small crime. The judge was just hangry. That's the other option.
Right, there you go. Bringing a slice, because he's a full-on cast member today. What do you have, Brady?
Well, Jesse was talking about his 2-for-1. This is actually a 3-for-1 for him, because he sent me this article. He goes, hey, man, we're doing slices. And I said, okay, let's do this.
Brady, so people that are listening are used to this because they know that Jesse's like the slice czar. That he bosses all the slices.
He's a slice guru.
I also said, hey, Brady, at some point, casually bring up the word brobot. I got some good material.
I've been
sitting on it.
A lot of brobot material.
Good work on that, by the way. It's very nice. Oh my God.
So, speaking of movies, Blockbuster, you guys remember our 90s star of the decade, Keanu Reeves?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure, certainly. I mean,
Speed, Matrix, all of them. So apparently, recently he was on a flight from San Francisco to LA and they had to make an emergency landing in Bakersfield, California.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know what happened, but apparently people were pretty freaked out. There was some kind of mechanical thing and they had to land at an airport.
I mean, it's like a 45-minute flight. So, I mean, something had to go really bad to not make it.
The airport they landed at wasn't even open.
Oh, whoa.
They actually had to open it up. I mean, it was kind of wild. So
before you keep going real quick, a lot of Keanu Reeves' early action stuff had to do with transportation stuff gone wrong, right? Like his breakout with Speed. If I'm on a plane and I see Keanu Reeves in there and all of a sudden something starts going wrong, that's really bad. That cannot be worse.
Well, no, maybe. Opposite. If something starts going wrong in a plane and Keanu Reeves is there, I'm like, at least we know who can handle it. Without him, I don't know who's going to take care of it.
I'm going to have to land the plane at 50 miles an hour.
I want him sitting in the emergency row for sure.
What happened?
The best part is that once they land, they're trying to decide what they're going to do. And they come up with this idea that, hey, it's going to take a while to get this thing fixed. So we're going to put everybody on a bus and we're going to send them to LA.
No.
It's a 2-hour drive or something from Bakersfield. Yeah. And so people,
halfway to Vegas.
Exactly. People are Instagram storying about this going, oh my God. They're saying, oh my gosh, we're Keanu Reeves and we're going to get on a bus and we're going to go to LA. And he's the one that's kind of like dictating because he's kind of stepping up as kind of one of the leaders. But everyone's freaking out because he's also
this way.
Exactly. So in the end, what ended up happening is they got in a van. They all got there safely. There was some talk about, hey, they opened up a Blimpies in the airport and Keanu didn't eat the Blimpies subs, but he had Gatorade and a water and a banana. But apparently the day got too long. And at the end, the final Instagram story was of a man getting the back of Keanu Reeves walking into a Carl's Jr. Oh, so even Keanu Reeves
Jr. caved. He's Carl's Jr.
I love it that he was the one, like, because I saw some of his Instagram stories, like when they landed in Bakersfield, Keanu instantly took over. Like, is this am I in a potentially dangerous transportation situation? I've been preparing my entire career for this. Very is a van involved? All right, let's do it. He does seem like the most chill celebrity ever. Like, super if you were chill. Just randomly stuck in a van with 2 hours in with a celebrity, Keanu Reeves would be on the short list for me.
Really?
Really? See, he's one of the, I could think of a very small number of actors that I'm just not, I don't enjoy his acting. Like, he's Nick Cage to me. Like, he's Nick Cage and Keanu Reeves are the same person. I wouldn't want to hang out
with
either.
Who would you rather be on a bus with in a non-emergency situation?
Around the table, you get a 2-hour bus ride. You and whatever celebrity around the table. All right, Cameron, you go first.
Oh, I mean, any celebrity. I mean, there's a million amazing, cool people that I'd want to hang out with.
Pick one. What do you mean? And don't have a sarcastic face about it.
No. Steph Curry. I mean, like, there's a million.
I mean, Brady, who's your celebrity? You're stuck in Bakersfield. You're going for a sweet van ride with.
Oh, man, this is a good question. I would have to go with Barack Obama.
Oh, see, ooh, what about, good so now answer. Who's on the opposite end? Who's like a celebrity that you would hate to be stuck in a bus with for 2 hours?
Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh.
What's that guy? Gilbert Godfrey?
Godfrey.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah,
I would
not
want to be in a bus with him. I don't know him as a person. I'm sure he's very nice. I'm sure his friends and family like
him.
Don't
humanize him. He's just something you can yell at. Don't worry about it. You don't humanize celebrities.
Oh, yeah. Right.
mine is easy. For the celebrity I would choose, Criss Angel Mind Freak. not even close.
Wait, Criss Angel over David Blaine? Really?
We could probably just teleport there.
Interesting. You know. Yeah, Criss Angel over David Blaine.
No. Criss Angel. Isn't Criss Angel the one who's like his? No. Who's the one? Who's
Criss,
the one that
Criss
does
Angel
the big
looks
spectacles?
Like he's committed the crime of the century and Brobot has sentenced to life as like, you know, the world's
affliction.
You know,
bro, a Brobot
dripping in affliction.
Yeah.
Like, but doesn't he do like he does the big spectacle stuff? You can't like you want up close stuff. You want a David Blaine car ride.
No,
you don't
because
want
I'm waiting because I think he's going to teleport us to the location. We're going to get on the highway and he's like, everyone close your eyes, about to mind freak you. And all of a sudden we're just, you know, we're in another country driving that van.
Who would have the best stories? Because a 2 hour car ride, you want to be laughing the whole time. Like what celebrity would have the best stories? Like I think like honestly, like a Kevin Hart or somebody would just have everybody dying the whole time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Kevin Hart would be very fun because he would also enjoy, it seems, again, he and I are not friends. It seems like he would enjoy entertaining a bus of people for 2 hours where there's some funny people
like
that
Will
would
Ferrell,
be like,
he's
I'm
an
just
introvert
trying to get there. Don't do this to me. Don't make me do this.
Like the real life Will Ferrell is not Will Ferrell on camera, right?
Yes,
he would be,
precisely.
He would be, we don't want to bother him. But Kevin Hart would absolutely get on the mic on the bus.
He would take over.
And just take over.
Yes,
that would be
exactly.
A blast.
That is a perfect one right there, Cameron. Well done.
I would be interested to see what Andy Richter could do. I feel like he's got all these years as the side
man. That
is
a deep
for
pool.
Conan.
Well done. Yeah.
You know, he's sitting there for Conan for 20 years. He's got all this material just waiting. And he's got an isolated van ride for 2 hours to give us the best material. I'd be curious to see what Andy Richter
could do. Is he still Conan's number two guy?
I think so. I think he's still on.
Okay. Yeah. That's a great answer. I think I'd pick Oprah, but though I think she might Will Ferrell us.
I love Oprah.
I love Oprah. I just think she might be more great. Like, I'm trying to read my book versus like, Annie, let's be friends. And I'd want her to say, Annie, let's be friends.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, because we're not
Dolly
talking
Parton?
Like we're not saying that the person is now on and like engaging. It is the real person just happens to be on the bus on our flight.
Right.
The real Keanu Reeves. We're just grabbing a burger at Carl's Jr. with Keanu.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I feel like
so
I
you want
less.
A person who's going to naturally own the moment, like somebody like The Rock or somebody who really would just like engage
Kevin Hart
everybody.
Kevin Hart is still going to be the winner to me, Cameron. I'm so on board with your call on that.
Yeah.
How about Ira Glass? Because he could just narrate it the whole time. And even if the bus ride was really boring, he would act like it's super interesting. You're like, you know, that's an insightful little voiceover you gave there, Ira. I didn't even think about the parallel between the length of this bus ride and the, you know, our fleeting mortality. Wow, what a great insight, Ira.
He would find someone on the bus that has the weirdest story. That's like a knitting champion or, you know, and he would be like, tell me more about competitive knitting. You know, like he'd be the one who would find that person.
Yeah. But the best conversation, Ira, I think would be good to like pepper with a million questions. He would have a lot of thoughts, but I'm going to, from a conversation standpoint, I think your Barack Obama is right up there for me. I can't think of somebody else. I'd rather
sit
down and like, stories and like, just like brilliant. And
Air
like,
Force One would be there in 2 seconds.
Yeah,
okay.
Like,
but then also if it's going to be, we are in the same seat and we're both happy to chat. I am probably going to pick Will Ferrell, because if Will Ferrell's like happy to chat, I would enjoy hearing his stories. And I would enjoy asking him some questions,
but
I don't want to sit by Kevin Hart. Like I can't, that's too much. I'm already overwhelmed and we aren't even there. But if Kevin Hart's going to entertain the whole bus, I want Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Right. But Will Ferrell, I've heard in real life, he is like an extreme introvert. Like you would be asking him questions.
You would know
and
he's in
would,
your family lineage. So
that's true. I've got Ferrell blood in me. yeah. No, that's true. But like, I think it would be like, I would feel like I'm bothering him. Like, I think I could, we could talk for a few minutes, but then he would shut down, you know? Like, I don't know. I feel bad.
I would choose Obama because I get him nice and warmed up, comfortable with me, yeah, asking about Michelle and the kids. And then I'd pop, hey, listen, man. Aliens. What do we know? What do we know? You on the back seat of the back row of the bus. Half the people are sleeping. Kevin Hart's up there yabbering away, distracting everybody else.
Yeah.
Let's talk aliens, man.
Let's talk. Yes. I would
just talk basketball with him.
Conspiracy theories for days, Jesse. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
You would go conspiracy theories with Obama if you had a captive conversation for 2 hours?
He was the president for 8 years. He knows so much. He knows the alien files. He's had access. You didn't tell me night one of the White House he didn't walk in there and be like, oh, we'll find out if aliens are real, and then I'll worry about, you know, Medicare or whatever. Okay,
I'll tell you the number one thing Jesse and I want is Barack Obama sitting between us at a dinner, and the number 1 million thing Barack Obama wants is to sit between me and Jesse at a dinner.
That's true. If there were aliens and there was information that he could give you don't think that the current president would have already tweeted about it?
Yeah, like Jimmy Kimmel asked Bush and Obama when they were on about aliens, and they both said the same thing. They were kind of like, well, we tell you, but we literally have to kill you, Jimmy. This real sinister something. Laugh. And they're like, dude, there's aliens. They totally know. And they're not going to do it on national TV in a van ride. And they're like, listen, I'm so glad you asked me this. I've been dying to get this off my chest. There are tons of aliens, dude. Like, I found out night one in the White House. They tell you about the alien stuff.
But then, it turns out that George W. Bush thinks that there's aliens because one day he went to the Blockbuster and accidentally rented Men in Black. And he thought it was a documentary.
That's right.
Yeah, that was an intelligence briefing. Yeah.
Jesse, will you just run for president someday just so we can find out the alien stuff we don't know, the conspiracy theory stuff we don't know?
No, I'm totally. I mean, that's what this whole career path is leading towards.
That's what I thought.
Winning over voters one podcast at a time.
Yep.
Got to get on a reality TV show. That's the next step.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. I just need to find the right one because, right now, I just haven't, until my Brobot Justice one comes to fruition. I don't know. I'm not going to do anything that involves nature and survival. I know I'll be immediately cast off with that. Anything that involves being voted out, not going to happen. I'll be voted out instantly.
Jesse, just so you know, BrobotJustice.com is also available. It's only $2.99 right now. It's on sale.
I don't feel Brobot Justice is necessary. It's just Brobot. Because we can branch out in a lot of ways if we just had Brobot.
You could have like a Brobot conference. You could have events, merch. Yeah. It's a whole enterprise, the Brobot empire.
See, if we'd have talked about this 2 weeks ago, I'd have been way less bored last week laying in my bed because I'd have just thought about all the Brobot things we could be doing. Y'all should have given me more content before I had to disappear.
Brobot justice, Brobot sports. There's a whole bunch of different
Brobot
ways
dating.
Go.
You could get a Brobot to help you find the right match.
I would not want a Brobot to be my wingman. That would not be a good wingman situation.
Brady's saying no to with his face. Yeah.
Brady knows. He's out of there on the dating scene like you wouldn't believe. And
please.
Like you wouldn't believe. I mean, many dates.
Brady's dating life is so remarkable. They have to put it on television. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, like, that's true.
It's true.
That's technically true, Brady.
Technically,
I voluntarily left the show.
I know.
That's right. You did. I was standing up and cheering when you did.
You will go down in bachelorette history as probably the only guy who voluntarily left.
Okay, Brady, what is the weirdest post-bachelor interaction you've had related to your time on the show?
Oh, man.
Do people still like come up to you?
Wait, hold on. Can we talk about that? Brady didn't leave just to leave. Brady left because he was going after a girl. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was admirable.
I had to go
admirable.
See about a girl. I had to go see about a girl. I stole the line from Good Will Hunting. You know
That's
what I'm
right.
saying?
Yeah.
No, the worst experience I think that I had was in Israel. So people don't usually come up to me much anymore. I grew a beard, hair out. I reinvented myself, right? Had a midlife crisis and tried to come back strong.
So you'll live to be 72?
No. Quarter life crisis.
Okay.
So I'm in Israel. I think I'm in Tel Aviv or something like that. I was going on this trip to check out all the places. It was really awesome. It was an amazing trip. And we're about to go check out the Sea of Galilee. And this lady comes up to me, middle-aged woman. And she goes, hey, are you Brady from The Bachelorette? I said, yeah, I did the show. And at that time it was kind of early on. I think I'd just broken up. The show was kind of recently finished. And she goes, are you guys still together? I said, no, unfortunately we're not. We're still really good. We're good friends and we appreciate the whole time and the experience and whatever, but we're not together. And then she goes, was Britt a Christian? And I said, yeah, she was a Christian and you know, the whole thing. And she goes, well, does she believe in Jesus? I go, yeah, she, the whole thing, right? She believes in God, you know, she's like, she's really awesome. She goes, well, if you guys would have committed your relationship to Jesus, then you'd still be together.
What?
And I went, what?
I don't know you.
Excuse me? And she walked away and then she came back and said something very similar again to me. And I went, and my friends were around me and they were absolutely stunned. And I was a little like, what is happening right now? And I just said, yeah. Hey, listen, that's not true. What you're saying is not true. Thank you. But I got to go.
Well done.
No, it was, I mean, it still kind of bothers me thinking about it. It actually was a little rough.
Tell him what I asked him last night, Jesse, like why y'all broke up. And it was this crazy, like when she realized you were talking about you're on that patio.
Okay.
This is real. This is real life.
You guys are getting the inside story.
I was about to say, is this a hot tub story or is this a public story?
It literally was a hot tub hot take.
This is actually, I mean... This is
real life.
Hey, I'm far enough removed from the experience. Yeah. It's you know, I see it as a thing that really helped my world.
Yeah.
You know, I had to wake up in a lot of ways and do some self-reflection, all that kind of stuff. But we're talking to one of the producers, and this is kind of our relationship's on the fritz, right? You have this amazing experience, so much like endorphins and infatuation, and you're on this, you know, show and I'm in LA and we're dating and all the things. And we get to this point where, you know, some of those chemicals start to wear off and you start to realize, wait, are you guys compatible? Is there chemistry? Is this going to work? You know, all the things. And she's a 7, Annie, she's a 7 on the Enneagram.
Yes.
So you know what that's like.
Yep.
Anyway, we're on this rooftop deck and we're chatting with one of the producers and he cooked dinner for us and he's kind of catch like, how's it going, guys? What's going on? And you know, we're kind of processing some of our relational issues. And he goes, you know, the producer says, the person you want to end up with is the person that you just wake up in the morning and you want to make eggs with. You do the boring stuff. You know, you do the things that you don't, it's not the exciting stuff. It's just the boring stuff, the mundane stuff of life. These are the people, this is the person you want to end up with. And that night later on, not that night, but later on after that night, Britt said to me, you know, when we had that conversation, I realized I didn't want to make eggs with you. I went, that one hurts.
That but seems like the most personal thing someone could possibly
say. I know.
Right.
Hey, but the truth is, I think she was still in love with the guy that she had dated previously to me. And this is kind of like inner gossip, but after we broke up, they ended up like re-talking and started going out and they got married. Actually,
I was about to say, didn't she marry him? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he's a friend of mine. And
I was going to say, are y'all friends? Yeah.
And I got to this point where I realized he was a better match. And so I actually said, hey man, maybe you guys should, talk again, because they kind of had a breakup that he kind of written it off. And I knew that Britt had done a lot of work, kind of inner work too. And they are both really great humans. And so they end up talking a little while later and, you know, dated for a while and then got engaged and now they're married and they're happy and I'm happy for them. So
they open a little brunch spot and they make eggs every day.
She literally wants to make eggs with him every day.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You should see this cute little brunch spot they got. It's called Equally Yoked. And they just...
Clever. Wow.
They committed
Brady,
their relationship
wait,
to Jesus.
I have a real question about that though. So what does that do for you when you're dating people? How long does it take you to feel like that's really good advice to me. I like that advice, the eggs
like
thing.
Who you
but
make
what
eggs
does that
with?
Do? Yeah. How has that affected your dating since, Britt?
Well, it's been a little sparse. Not actually amazing, but you know, I think that it's made me realize that some of the glitz and the glam and the excitement, it's for a season and it's fun, but after that, I want to look for like the true connection, you know? And really what the show did for me is I think I was very scared to open up and be vulnerable, to live from my heart and to be seen. And that show forces you to do that. You know, they're trying to pull all of it out of you. All the interviews are go, hey, so how do you feel? And what's going on? How do you feel? And I'm like, I'm a guy. I don't feel right. I'm pushing this down. So I think I learned how to engage a little bit better in my heart and to go, okay, the source of connection, the source of intimacy is vulnerability, you know, and it's the Brené Brown stuff, right? And yeah, Brené yeah, yeah. talks about how the source of happiness is human connection, and human connection is all about vulnerability. So I think I've looked for something a little deeper and a little bit more, you know, real. So not that that wasn't real, but there are different seasons of relationships. So yeah.
And the better you understand yourself, the more real the connections are you pick, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, brilliant. This was an unexpected yeah. direction.
I have nothing to add to that other than another egg pun. Yeah. Which sometimes dating isn't all it's cracked up to be. So I contributed that.
This is what being friends with Brady is like. We were at a baseball game together last year, Brady, and like
I was telling Cameron about
3
it.
Minutes in, we're like deep talking. This is right. real life with Brady. It's such a gift.
Hey.
I mean, that's what he came through in January. He just texted me. He's like, "Hey, you want to go to dinner or whatever?" And I was like, "What are you doing in Orlando?" He's like, "I'm down here on vacation with my parents and I need to get out of this resort."
Yeah, and that's share world.
I was like, "Come over, dude." So he showed up at my house around 5:30, and I mean, we know each other a little, but not, I mean, we were close, and he sits on my couch and we just like, we were both in a similar season and we just got into it and we talked until 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And I,
yeah.
You know, it's just like, he just right goes up. There and you know, it's all in. I like it.
Yeah. Hey, I'm grateful.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, stay tuned. Coming up next, Tadashi joins us.
Asking myself what I've done. Louis, I don't have it fun. Feeling trapped like my brother. My freedom, it cost everyone. Got a debt that I can't pay. Deserve that, what they say. God'll take what I can't take. God'll hear what I can't say. Alone in the silence of my decision. I roam like an iPhone without a signal. No home in outside of, that's my position. So gone that I died at the trough of kings in. Enticed by a dream that you'll never see. Think twice cause it's scheme as you stay asleep. Then last you can't see but can't read between. In time chasing thrills was the end.
You're listening to our next guest, Tadashi, featuring Crowder. The song is Home. Rapper Tadashi just released his new album, Never Fold, which along with featuring collaborations with artists like Crowder, Sarah Reeves, and Lecrae, tackles heavy themes like grief, fear, and ultimately, perseverance. Our very own Jesse Carey recently talked with Tadashi about the album and the real-life events that inspired it and shaped his perspective and outlook. Tell us about it, Jesse.
Yeah, so, you know, you kind of get from the title, Never Fold, the album really is about perseverance. And Cameron, you alluded to earlier that, you know, Tadashi had lost his son a few years ago, and that's been like this really kind of formative event in his life. And, you know, I asked him kind of just straight up why he wanted to make an album that was so vulnerable and also, you know, so personal. You know, a lot of people in his family show up in the album, and, you know, here's what he said about it.
It was super intentional for me to want to put the idea of perseverance and hope in there. So overarching, you know, the way I wrote it, overarching, perseverance and hope are there. It's hey, we do not grieve like people without hope. Like we have hope, scripture says. So I was like, I want to make sure that hope is a part of it. Perseverance is a real key moment. Just for where I was in life and still am. And so it blew my mind when I started having conversations with people who would share their struggles, their burdens, their losses, their griefs, and hear them express their desire to persevere. But never, like, we hear moments of excitement, but very rarely are we getting sincere testimony from the front end to the back end, if you will. And so I really wanted perseverance to be there. And then throughout every song, and I was intentional, I told the label, I said, if this is a problem, then we may do an EP instead of an album because this is going to happen. But in almost every song, I either mention, my friends, my wife, or my mom, because in my darkest moments, those were the people who were coming to get me.
We you know, we started talking about, you know, there's a theme that runs through this album about it's difficult because like a lot of albums you hear only like positive stuff or like, it's easy to sing about or talk about God and when things are going well and how, you know, so one of the things he really like kind of thought through was what does it look like to make an album or make songs about grief and about suffering? And but it's not something that's dark and that can be hopeful. And he told this really powerful story about something that had happened to him right after his son passed away. And people were coming over to his house and somebody said something to him that kind of rubbed him the wrong way, but has gone on to be really formative. This clip's, just about 2 minutes. So it's a little bit longer than the first, but I do feel like it's a really powerful story. Chandler, why don't you go ahead and play that, what Tadashi had said.
We had just lost our son. We had friends over to the house and one guy came up and he sat with me. He hugged me. And as he was hugging me, I don't know, it's funny. I'm laughing because I'm going back in my head looking at it. But I'm laughing because every time somebody hugs, I don't know why they want to rock or sway. And I was not in the mood to do any of that, but I was being polite. So I hugged him, and we're like rocking and swaying back and forth. And we're just kind of going with this with this move that I guess he wanted to do. And in that moment, my man said, hey, bro, just suffer well. Just suffer well. And he said that. And then when he left, I told my wife what happened. And she was like, that's what he said to you? I said, yeah. And I said, I wanted to punch him in the face. And she was like, really? I was like, yeah, I still wrestle. I don't know how I feel about that phrase. But I do know when someone says it, they're really focused on the well part. Right. They want to make sure that you're doing things well. And I've just realized in this season and just going through what I've gone through, more so than doing things well, I just want to make sure you're well. I feel like when Jesus said, a tree by the fruit it bears, that it gets to the root of what that person really is. And so if there's bad behavior or if there's, corrupt thinking, if there's something going on that's fleshing itself out for us to see naturally, then more so than correcting behavior so that things look well, I want to get to the root. And that phrase to me is always, it's not an oxymoron, but it's definitely sometimes contradictory because you're going, man, you're skipping suffering just to look at well. And so when he said it to me, it just kind of woke me up to realize, man, there's so many people who don't know for lack of experience or just lack of paying attention. They just don't know how to engage in these moments. And so we find ourselves saying or doing things that really only benefit us more than the person.
That's true. We were talking about that.
That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean. And that's one thing I appreciate about not just like the album that really wrestles with this, a track after track is really about this. What does it look like to suffer and grieve and still care about what God wants for us in wellness, but also his ability to have that kind of insight in the face of tragedy?
Yeah. I mean, my thing is like, you're going through something like that. Like, honestly, who cares about the well? Like, I don't think like you're supposed to have it all together.
Mm-mm.
I mean, you need to go to the place of where you're supposed to go, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, and eventually, yes, seasons will shift and the cloud will lift, but you don't need to worry about that. You need to be real, right?
Yeah. I mean, or maybe he was saying, hey, there's a way to suffer that actually it doesn't medicate or distract, but allows you to fully enter into the things you got to feel.
The person you're saying suffer well was maybe intending that?
Maybe he was intending that. Where you go, hey, You gotta cry. You gotta yell.
Okay, because that's right. Because maybe the bad version of suffering is the distraction. Right. Of like, hey, maybe I'm drinking myself.
Alcohol, right. Maybe, or whatever, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if it's like, no, like, just get over this. All happy, good. You right. know, that's not the thing we're talking about either.
And that's why you can see for him why that rubbed him the wrong way. You know, right. So you want to punch him in the face because it's like, no, how about I just suffer? How about you just say it's okay to feel, you know? And because, like, a lot of people have a lot of conflicted ideas about this, I ask him what his advice would be to someone experiencing tragedy on their own, you know, having this kind of informed perspective. And here's what he said.
The first thing I would say to anybody is your pain is real, regardless of what other people call it. For you, that one time, that weekend, last week, you know, for years, your pain is real. And I would not do you the disservice of belittling that to hopefully make you hurdle something to get to where I think is better for you. We all know that pain is a part of life. We see it in scripture. We see it with the Savior. We see it in our own everyday, you know, world. But the one thing I never want to do is overlook that. So I would hope to affirm people in what they're going through and try to do what I think Job's friends should have done, what I think Jesus wanted the disciples to do, and that was, in a real way, just be with them, just be present.
Those thoughts really hit home. You know, what he, you know, he says he thinks people should do what Job's friends should have done, and that's be present. I mean, you know, I think we've all been at points in my life, and I can remember points recently, you know, and where going through stuff and just people being present and being, hey, man, it's okay to talk about whatever you want to talk about, feel whatever you want to feel, but no, you're not alone. Like, that is a really profound thought where there's no agenda, you know, like, it's really easy to come into like situations with an agenda, but just acknowledging someone's pain feels really affirming and good, you know, and is very hopeful. And so, you know, I to kind of end on a hopeful note, because I don't want to paint the album like it's like this dark. I mean, it's got it is a hopeful album, but at the core of it,
it's a good listen. It's a hip hop album. I mean,
and it's got great collaborations on there. You know, every other song practically. But I did want to kind of ask him to, you know, why is it so, you know, important for people to, you know, hold on to messages of truth about themselves and not let just the present circumstances kind of hold them down? Because ultimately, that's kind of what the you know, never fold, you know, like, stay firm, persevere. And here's what he had to say about that.
And then I would want to encourage people to fight to hold on to the very things that we say is true and real. Fight to hold on to the real realities of who God says he is, and what God has always been to you, because hardship, trials, tribulations, pain, they come and they challenge that. You know, if you're not prepared to face that challenge, you'll find yourself being swept under the current of everything you feel, not just physical pain, but even mental and emotional anguish that can overwhelm you.
Yeah, it's a, you know, I think that's why I really, part of he was talking about, you know, collaborating with someone like Crowder, who's like a worship artist, and just bringing back these themes of, you know, really not backing down even when times get hard, and feeling permission to feel negative things, but always hanging on to the truth that God is who he says he is, and that we have hope. So, definitely a killer album, but I really appreciate him just being willing to be so vulnerable. It's not that often you talk to an artist who has a new project coming out that is willing to get really personal and really hopefully encourage other people that are dealing with stuff. So,
yeah. And not to downplay the importance of that, but also you really miss some good omelet puns when it's called Never Fold, Jesse. I need to like bring back some of the egg thoughts.
Yeah, sorry, my brain's been a little scrambled this morning trying to just that, you know, I'm trying to be hopeful, keep the sunny side up, and just
that's the guy I came here for.
Keep on sizzling.
Excellent job.
You know,
excellent
job. You know,
this is,
you know,
a bunch of dads here.
You know,
dad jokes.
I can just keep jokes going and not really care. I'm just a shell of a person.
No.
You know?
All right.
Like, you never know.
You literally do have the best yokes. You've got the best yokes of any of us, Jesse. That is for sure.
Yeah. You never know, you know, when the next joke's going to hatch, and you just got to keep plowing forward and hopefully it's itself. You know?
All right. That's Tadashi. Make sure to check out his latest album, Never Fold. It's out now.
Crossed in the wrong direction, found myself in a conversation from a missed connection. Standing there in a purple dress, point my eyes in the right direction, find myself in a conversation from a missed connection.
This episode of the Relevant Podcast is brought to you by Libscum University. At Libscum University, their online programs are shaped by a commitment to creating a better future. And with multiple undergraduate, graduate, and certificate programs to choose from, you can define what that future looks like. Plus, you earn the same academically rigorous degree you'd get on their campus with the flexibility to fit your life. Listen, at Relevant, we believe in you, the listener. We know you're ready to lead. So you can pursue your goals and a better world at Libscum Online. Visit libscum.edu/online to learn more. That's libscomb.edu/online.
Don't tell me I lost a step. Crisscrossed in the wrong direction. Found myself in a conversation from a missed connection.
You're listening to The Head and the Heart. Song is Missed Connection, inspired by the Brady Toop story. Okay, well, we didn't ask you a feedback question last week. Normally right here is where we do listener feedback, our editorial question of the week. We didn't do one last week. We will
you
this
week.
You
just couldn't bear to do one without me here? That is really sweet.
It was just like, what's the point? You know what I'm saying? Andy's not even here.
We just weren't ecstatic about it. I'm sorry. They're getting
Keep going.
Sometimes those questions of the week have an expiration date on them. And we're just like, nope, not this week. It's
oh my gosh, Jesse,
they're really getting awful. They're getting bad.
But we did tweet out. We said, hey, I think for the listener interaction segment, we're going to do basically a cast Ask Me Anything. So you guys tweeted us a ton of questions for the cast. So instead of us asking you a question, you sent us a million questions. Jesse went through and picked a few of them, and I'll lob them to the crew now. Allison tweeted us and said, I started a new job in August, and I just realized one of my coworkers has been calling me Allie instead of Allison, the name I prefer. I never signaled in the emails Allie, introduced myself as Allie, nor does anyone else refer to me as Allie. What should I do? New job. What should I do?
Well, this is an easy one. You, it's too awkward to confront this individual. That's obvious.
Yeah,
the only thing you can do at this point is conspire to get her fired and removed from your life. Remove her from the situation. You could address it, but that'd be a little weird. She's been calling you Allie for weeks.
Right.
The best thing you could do is frame her for something terrible in the office, in the workplace, and get her fired. I mean, you guys are on the same page with me on that one, right?
No, this is like a real thing, though. This is a workplace situation, but like I lived in my last house for like 10 years, and I didn't like it got to, I didn't remember that first introduction. I didn't remember my neighbor's names. And then it became like after a few years, I interact with them quite frequently. I still don't know their names. I didn't know what to do. And the same thing happened when I moved to this neighborhood. Like I immediately meet all these people. I don't remember them all. I didn't know what to, and now my neighbors are always saying hi and whatever.
You go to their mailbox and you pull out a letter.
Oh,
Brady Toops coming in hot.
I think it's illegal, but I think I'm going to do it.
But just do it. Just a look. It's illegal, but you can just look and put just it back. Don't keep it.
Oh, no. My neighborhood is full of the door slots. So you know what I mean?
Poor postman in Orlando has to get out of his car in August and walk to everybody's doors.
It's the big satchel bag, and they're walking doors.
They just walk around the neighborhood. It's great. They park in the front of the neighborhood. Just hook
but
up.
Like I can't, so I can't do this. What do I do?
That's tough.
That's what I do.
You know, I think what this girl should do, she should make up a pet name, some kind of nickname for the girl that's not remembering her.
But it's not that she's not remembering. She's
and
just
then when that girl tells her to quit.
Exactly.
She'll go, if you're going to call me Kitty.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kitty. Because that's the name she would choose, of course.
That's good. Cameron, but your situation, just next time you have, you know, somebody hanging out in the yard, you know, like let's say a Brady Tubes and your neighbor's out there. Yeah. Brady, you know, is you know, just laughing, giggling, throwing a frisbee. Yeah. It goes in the neighbor's yard. He walks over and he says, "Hi, can I grab that frisbee? My name's Brady, by the way." Shakes hand and he does the covert intelligence for you.
I have a note on my phone of all my neighbors' names when I meet them, and I put where they live or what dog was with them or whatever, because I'm so prone to forget, but you see the same people all the time.
You are an overachiever, Annie. We are all impressed.
I wish you would have given me that advice when I moved into the neighborhood. It's now too late.
Right. I just memorize it.
It's never too late to start a list of phone numbers.
They're good salt of the earth people. That's my role. Wes, with your neighbors.
Wes asked us, Wes wrote in, he said, I had a serious relationship end a couple of months ago. So this is probably a good Brady Tubes question. I'm a dentist in my late 20s with a pretty busy work schedule, and I go to a small church that doesn't have many single women my age. What's your advice for re-entering the dating scene? His name is Wes.
He's a dentist.
I would say probably bingo at the local.
I mean, like an app, right? You just get on Bumble or something, right?
Apps, they're rough. Yeah. They are rough.
The apps are rough.
Annie, what do you think about
that?
I'm
on no apps, so I don't know.
I'm not on no apps. I'm on an app. But I think that's what you have to do is expand your circle. Because probably what he didn't say to us that he is saying is there are no women left in my life. Right. And so by getting on
how do I meet someone?
Yeah, you don't even have to date any of them. It just reminds you that there are people in your zip code that you do not know that are single. And so then I also think he probably should tell some people he's ready to be set up so his friends and his family that love him can kind of start doing that.
Hey, he's a dentist in his mid to late 20s. He's got a pipeline of new people.
Of
he can chit chat with people while he's cleaning their teeth.
Yeah.
They can't go. Yeah, they can't go anywhere.
Right. They can't go
anywhere.
Captive
audience.
Yeah.
You know? So what are you doing this weekend?
Yes. Don't you hate that?
Hey, you want to go for a drink after work? I can't drink for 4 hours. Come on. I should know that. I am a dentist after all.
Hey, how do you like your eggs? Oh,
no.
That's not a good pickup line. It's not a good one.
That's a little runaway bride, too.
Hey, you do have to realize, I think, that there are people all around you.
Yes.
And, you know, I heard about this one guy who was afraid to talk to girls. And so
his name was B. Tubes. No, Brady T. Brady T.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Brody Trooper. and what he would do
Trady
is Trady
Boops. We'll call him Trady Boops.
We'll call him Trady Boops.
he would face his own fear. So he would do the thing he was afraid of. So he would see how many numbers he could get in a day. Because
what?
He had
that
to.
Horrible.
No, it sounds horrible, but he was afraid to do that thing.
Him.
So
yeah.
he would actually see how many times he could get rejected. So if he's in, you know, in the post office or at the grocery store,
that sounds like a hold my beer moment. That dude's like, I can get rejected 12 times. I'm like, listen, I can get rejected way more than that.
Well, you know, it worked for him because then he got less scared to talk to people.
Yeah. I keep going everywhere. Back to the egg advice and making it. And for Wes, it can be like, how do you like? Well, I can see from your lack of floss that you like your like egg scrambled. So do I. I'm fun to make eggs with. Why don't we hang out?
Or just slide into the DMs. You know, that's there the biggest. You go. That's probably the key. Yeah.
Mitchell asked us, my roommates have been leaving our TV on whenever they leave the house. Sometimes it has Netflix playing. Other times it's just on. How can I be sure that they always turn it off when they leave in the future?
Stop living with children. Who leaves the TV on when they leave the house?
I don't know.
Yeah, I do.
Why are you not shocked? All of you are just sitting there like that's a normal thing to do.
Because I mean, someone.
Mitchell, just go into your TV's settings and there's a power saving mode. And you can say, like, after an hour, if there's nothing's whatever, turn itself off.
The auto sleep timer.
That's right. That's it.
Mitchell,
that's
how about not being passive aggressive and writing a podcast about this?
Just talk to your roommates.
Have a courageous conversation.
Jesse, that's the best advice. That's the truest advice you ever given.
Sticky note on the remote. Please turn off before leaving. You know, power ain't free.
You know, power ain't free. You guys, by the way, my electricity got turned off yesterday.
Because
I forgot to pay the bill.
Annie.
So it ain't free. It really ain't free. They will
Annie,
turn that
who
off.
Who has two assistants, a business manager, a team of people
100%.
Caring for her.
I thought it was auto drafting like the others. So I'm here to say I am proof positive that power is not free.
cut it off.
Miranda says, this is maybe a good one for Annie. She says, I graduate from college in May. What's something I should do before I start my first year of teaching in August?
Oh boy, Jesse's going to have a really dumb answer for
this.
She's going to
have the summer of Miranda. What should she do for her summer of Miranda?
That's what she should do. She should do she should make a list of 10 things that she wants to do. Well, the truth is, if you're going to be a teacher, you can have the summer of Miranda every summer of your life.
That's true.
This is not your one last summer. You always get to summer. But I'd say pick a couple of things that you can do that aren't expensive. Here's the trick. This is something people don't realize. When you're a school teacher, you start working, you know, end of July. You don't get paid till end of August. So it is a long time between your last paycheck at whatever other job and your first paycheck with this job. So I'd recommend saving up a little bit because I found myself in a bit of a pickle at the end of that, the very beginning of my first year of teaching.
Your power got cut off.
My power got cut off. Apparently I'm having a lot of financial troubles that I'm happy to tell you all about today.
I had to live on raw eggs like Rocky post-workout. Just sucking them down. It wasn't pleasant, but salmonella's terrible. But
Jesse, what would you tell her to do?
My answer is always the same. When everyone's like, I got one last hurrah, it's always heist. It is always pull off a cool heist. Yeah. I mean, that's obvious.
you want a crime to happen every summer.
Rodrigo wrote in. He said, my car has been broken into. They stole my baby's bottles. And this morning I wake up to it being wrecked in a hit and run. What do I do? Is this car cursed? Should I bring out the anointing oil?
Mm, wow.
If it's wrecked in a hit and run, it's like you get a new car, right? I don't know. Isn't that what insurance is?
Yeah, I don't know. I think this is definitely a curse situation happening. Like, I don't know. Did he steal the wrong pirate treasure? Situation. Did he, you know, I have no idea what
you've
done.
Oh, did he like take a seashell from somewhere that you weren't supposed to take things from? That
like
one of those?
Some kind of hidden enchanted thing. I don't know. Yeah. All I'm saying, Rodrigo, is your life is in danger.
This is the beginning
if I were
of the
you,
end.
I would burn that car right now.
Also, that's really sad that someone stole baby
bottles. Like that's such a random theft.
Unless
they were gold plated baby bottles. We don't know. They might have been diamond encrusted. Oh. He might have been talking about a Rolls Royce. We don't know.
Yeah, that's true. We're assuming Toyota Corolla. It could be Rolls Royce.
Can I say too, I've become, when I was a kid and during like the Home Alone era, you know, I was really paranoid about burglars, that people were going to break in and steal stuff. If I were to break into a house right now and I knew no one was home, I don't even know what I would steal that would get me that much value. I could take the TV, but TVs are super cheap these days. Like, where am I going to take a used TV? Like, I got to carry the used TV. You know, what if I'm walking through someone's home, what am I stealing these days that's worth me burglarizing a home?
You're going straight looking for the jewelry. You're going through the sock drawers.
Do people have that anymore? Do people have they don't keep cash?
I have jewelry. I don't have nice jewelry, just anybody who wants to break in. I don't have nice jewelry, but I mean, I think that would be the only thing worth anything, right?
That's what I'm saying. If someone broke into my house right now.
Or if someone has a safe with guns or with cash, they'd probably go after that,
but it's in a safe. If someone broke into my house right now, I don't know what they're even stealing. They're walking around and be like, well, I mean, I could have a garage sale and see how much I could pull with this junk.
This is a pointless burglary.
This is way more work.
That's brilliant, Jesse.
All right, there's a lot more questions, but we're kind of out of time. So, all right, so it's time for this week's
editorial question of the week.
Well, earlier we brought you the breaking news about Keanu Reeves.
Great
rescue
slice,
of
Brady.
People and then a mundane commute back to LA. It got us talking about who we would want to be trapped on a bus with for 2 hours, most and least. So we want to know who you would most want to be trapped on a bus with or least want to be trapped on a bus with. Hit us up on Twitter at Relevant Podcast, or you can post your longer scenarios on the podcast episode page at relevantmagazine.com.
And in Cameron's words, if you're going to say you least want to be trapped with us, just keep it to yourself. Just keep it to yourself. Right, we don't want to hear
we
that.
We don't need
we're
the painful feedback.
Hey, we are real people,
we're
too.
We're real people. You can't just yell at us.
We're not NBA stars here. You can't just yell things at us.
Yeah. Right.
Just for the record, I only yell things to try to make people laugh. Just FYI. It might be at somebody's expense, but I'm just doing it.
I've seen it in person. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not trying to be like, there's an issue going on in the NBA with like heckling right now.
That's right.
I am not one of those people, just to clarify. Okay. Okay. Hey, many thanks to Tadashi for joining us on the show. You can follow him on Twitter at Tadashi with two I's. His album Never Fold is out now. Thanks also to Blinkist for making the episode possible. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer for Relevant listeners. You can go to Blinkist.com/relevant to start your free 7-day trial. You can join 8 million other people. Hey, if you like the Relevant podcast, help us spread the word. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and if you're so inclined, give us a 5-star review. We need 113 more 5-star reviews to be a full 5-star podcast. We literally, like, our team did the algorithm. With 113 more 5-star reviews, it flushes out the people who have given us 1-stars, and it literally, like, it'll, like, tip it back to 5. We're like at that 4-point, you know what I mean? Like, yep. Like when you're looking at it, it's like 4.5 because people, a couple of 1-stars in there. But there's like 1,000 5-stars. We need 113 more people.
A couple people with no taste.
Yeah, serious. With too much time on their hands, who don't obey Cameron. He says, keep it to yourself.
Yeah, keep it to yourself. Hey, and if you want to see Relevant Magazine in your campus or church or your community, you can submit your school or event or your church to be included in our partnership distribution program. Go to relevantmagazine.com/podpartner. And while you're on the site, if you aren't a subscriber to Relevant, you should be. We have a special offer going on for Relevant Podcast listeners right now. You can get your first 6 months of the magazine for only $6. When you subscribe at relevantmagazine.com/podfan. Hey, and make sure to check out our brand new podcast and daily video show. It's called Relevant Daily, where we're bringing you the latest happening at the intersection of faith and culture. It's about 10 minutes long. Wherever you get your podcast, just search for Relevant Daily. I can say starting next week, there will be some cool changes. It's a new show, and it's like wet cement. And so every day we're talking about, hey, what if we? And Relevant Daily is going to be starting in a cool new era even next week. So make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcast, Relevant Daily. And there's a note in here from our team saying, last week when everybody was voting for the new hot list jingle, you guys kind of electoral colleged it and you didn't give the people the vote that they wanted. And
what?
Well, everybody voted for number two, that kind of raunchy one, the bound chicka bound bound one.
Sure.
You know, that, yeah. And we were like, no,
very inappropriate.
Very inappropriate. We can't do that as a long-term jingle on the show. But the people are outraged. They are outraged
no.
that we decided to do this. And so, Chandler, you said you would evolve it and maybe do a jingle number two, 2.1.
A PG-rated version of jingle number two?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's in the works, people. We will debut it on Friday's show. So just calm down with your Twitter rage about us overriding you. We're going back to number two, but we're just trying to make it safe for the little ears. You know what I'm saying? So we're just going to try and do a slightly modified version of number two. So calm down. All right. Well, hey, Brady, thanks for joining us, man. This is a lot of fun.
Oh, I loved it. Thank you.
Well done, Brady.
Brought some depth.
Thanks, did I pass? Did
you
I pass?
Brought some depth.
Yeah. It was
some
a treat.
Good bachelorette juicy
some
stuff.
Some gossip.
Yeah, some gossipy stuff. I love it. But gossip and depth, that's all we're looking for from our guests.
that is literally what I'm paid to be here for.
All right. On that note, we'll wrap it up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Chandler Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Annie F. Downs.
I'm Brady Toops.
All right. We will see you all on Friday. Have a good week. Times I wondered, are we just a puff of smoke? Yeah, underneath this bed of ashes, still withholding everything like we were never close. Thank you for listening to the Relevant Podcast. If you like what you heard, be sure to leave us a review on iTunes. Check out other shows from the Relevant Podcast Network in the podcast section at relevantmagazine.com. And while you're there, browse exclusive podcast merchandise at our online store. Make sure to subscribe to Relevant Magazine. Info is available at relevantmagazine.com/subscribe. I'm ready to let go.
Please, no! Please, robot, no! Have some mercy!
Relevant Podcast Network.